Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a living word to us today. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will speak deep into our hearts this morning as we remember and think about the words that you have said, not only to your disciples, but to us today. So, Lord, open our hearts to receive all that you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, light is very attractive. In fact, as I'm now in church at the moment, we can see that we've got very good lighting in here, and we've got some purple uplighters on today. You probably can't see them on your screen. But over the years, John and I have seen some fantastic displays of light. Sonne Lumière in the chateaus in the areas of the Loire in France, laser beam shows in Singapore, and of course the lights at Blackpool, where we took our children year after year, and the spectacular northern lights seen in Iceland, and myriads of stars seen in New Zealand. But most of these, you have to go to a specific place to see them. But we read in John's Gospel, chapter 8, and do have it open, Jesus proclaims, "I am the light of the world." Wow, a sensational light, because it's not just a light at Blackpool or something that you can see in the Northern Hemisphere, but it is of the whole world. No travel is needed. Jesus is the light for all the world, wherever you are. Doesn't matter whether you're in New Zealand or Antarctica or wherever you are, Jesus is, he says, the light of the world. So let's put this into its original context, because Jesus often used his immediate context to ensure his words were understood. We see that Jesus was in the temple courts. You see that in verse 20. And from the previous chapter, we see that this is the time of the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. And this was a ceremony where the whole of the temple was lit up. In the center were four great candelabras, and when it was dark, they were all lit. And historically, it's been recorded that when these lights were lit, they were so bright that every courtyard in Jerusalem was lit up. This festival was a reminder of the time the Israelites spent in the wilderness, where the fire of God lit up the darkness and guided the people when they needed to move on. And it's against this backdrop that Jesus proclaims, "I am the light of the world." It's as if Jesus is saying, you may have seen this great blaze of light from the temple, piercing the darkness, but I am the true light, Jesus tells them. He was telling them that these temple lights are great, they're bright, but they will die out. The end of the festival, there'll be no more light in that way. And in the Old Testament, light is associated with God. Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Isaiah 60, "The Lord will be your everlasting light." Job, "By this light I walked through darkness," and so on. And the rabbis at the time of Jesus, they declared that the name of the Messiah was light. So we begin to understand a little bit more what Jesus is claiming here. He's claiming very clearly that he is higher than any other. It was a jaw-dropping claim. So much so that John can't believe that Jesus hasn't been seized, that nobody's come and arrested him. And it says, doesn't it, "Yet no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come." So what does it mean that Jesus is the light? Well, if we look at the beginning of John's Gospel, we see that the light of Jesus gives life, physical life, to our created world. In 1 verse 4, Jesus is the source of all creation, all life. If we remember in Genesis, it was all dark until God said, "Let there be light," and creation was underway. we exist, we have our very being because of Jesus. He is the light of humankind. Our existence comes from him. You and me owe the very fact that we are here today to Jesus. And John in his gospel wants to show us this right from the very beginning. But of course, we see also that the light refers to spiritual light. If you remember in chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, Jesus has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. We see that darkness is equated with evil, and in verse 24, with unbelief. And we often talk, don't we, about being in the dark about something, meaning that we don't know, we don't understand. And Jesus is saying, but I am light. Darkness can confuse, it can distort, it can be dangerous. I was watching something on television last night, and when they were doing a stakeout, it was a mystery type of thing. Of course, they wore dark clothes so they couldn't be seen. They wanted to be hidden. But Jesus then tells us that we do not need to be in darkness if we follow him. So what did the Pharisees do? How did they react to Jesus? Well, they didn't ask more about the light, which would have been the natural thing. It would have been to say to Jesus, what do you mean? Tell us about this light. But no, the Pharisees were in darkness. They didn't want to know about the light. They started to talk about, well, what about being a witness? In Jewish law, you had to have two witnesses. And the Pharisees wanted to digress. But Jesus very cleverly looks and uses this question to bring them back to the fact that he has a relationship with God, the Father. Verse 14, I come from God. I'm going back to God, my Father. Verse 16, I stand with my Father. And verse 19, you don't know God. He says to the Pharisees, your thinking is all wrong. You're thinking, in verse 15, according to the flesh. But this is about spiritual life we're talking about. And so Jesus gives a warning in verse 24. If you do not believe I am the light of the world, you will die in your sins. The Bible calls it hell. Strong words. In other words, if you live without Jesus in this life, you're going to live without him in the next. It's the same warning for you and me. Why would you think that when you die, you'll go to be with Jesus when you've never even bothered or spoken to him in this life? But as always with Jesus, when there is a warning, there is always hope. Look back again at verse 12. Whoever, that includes you and me, Jew and non-Jew, whoever follows Jesus will never walk in darkness. In other words, believe and you won't die. You won't die in darkness. You won't die away from Jesus. When we believe, we are lifted out of spiritual darkness into light. And our unbelief and our blindness disappears. It's a spiritual eye-opening time. When we believe and follow Jesus, it's like an eternal life giving eternal sight. Jesus gives us life through the Holy Spirit. He gives it to his followers. So in John 12, we become, the followers of Jesus, children of light, because Jesus is the true light and everything else is darkness. The whole world needs Jesus. The light of the world, Jesus, the creator and owner of the world. The light shows up in the darkness. And the light makes all good things shine with its full and true beauty. Isn't that why we can really appreciate God's wonderful creation? Because his light within us helps us to admire and appreciate that. The beauty of creation. So do we love the darkness, or have we received Jesus, the true light? His light helps us to see the difference between truth and falsehood, death and life, evil and good. His light means we have light to guide our paths. Where do you need light right now? Is it in your work pattern, your career choices, your university courses, the choice of a husband or wife, how to parent, how to use your time effectively? We all need the light of Jesus to guide us so that we don't stumble, that we don't make the wrong decisions, the wrong paths to take. What a wonderful example that is. He will do it. We only have to be with him and allow him to guide us. And the light of Jesus never goes out. So we do not need to be in darkness. Faith in Jesus and darkness are incompatible. Even when we may have difficult or sorrowful times, Jesus will be our comfort, a glow, a warm glow of light. But maybe there are still areas of darkness in our lives, things in our lives that haven't been brought to the light of Jesus. Maybe it's a habit that is wrong, and you think no one knows. But of course, Jesus always knows. Maybe an addiction of some kind, or messing about with spiritual forces that are evil. We need to bring anything that is dark to the light of Jesus so that he can spotlight on our hearts and it can be revealed, and then we are able to repent and ask God to take away that darkness. And what about dying? We all die. I think our generation at the moment don't like to think that death is a natural thing that's going to happen to us all. But when that moment comes, when death comes, and the world thinks all the lights go out, what will happen to the followers of Jesus? The light of heaven will shine to welcome you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that the way to pass from this life to the next? That death, the light of heaven, will welcome you. And we are told that when we have Jesus, we have the light of life itself. The Christian gospel is so different from any other religion. Jesus gives us himself, now and forever. We are children of light because he is the light of the world. So what kind of light are you? What kind of light am I? Are we a light that flickers on and off, depending on how we feel or what kind of company we are taking or being with? Are we a light that just burns very dimly? Or are we a light that shines brightly, even as Jesus shines? How do we make sure that we shine brightly? We used to have a touring caravan, and we didn't have to hook up to electric all the time because the caravan had its own battery and we could use the light. But when we did use the electric hookup to the mains, the lights were so much brighter. We could have much more light. There was no flickering and they shone continually. We need to be, as it were, plugged into the source of light, Jesus himself. We do that through prayer, through talking to him, through listening by reading his word and studying his word and saying, what does it mean to me? What does this mean for me tomorrow? And with Christian fellowship. And then we truly will be not only followers of Jesus, but children of light. And then the end of our reading today in verse 30, it says, many believed in Jesus. So we must ask ourselves, does that include me and you? Have you believed in Jesus? Have you recognized that he is the light of the world, giving you not only physical life, but spiritual life? And are you following him, believing in what he says, seeing him and understanding his worth? And will you allow his light to shine in any dark places in your life? Then we can be together, children of light, spiritually alive today and in the days to come. And that's what we want for our church here in Poynton, isn't it? We want each one of us to be a child of light, so that together we are children of light, and our church is a beacon of light for this community here and beyond. So let us pray that we indeed will be plugged in, as it were, to Jesus, the true light, the light of the world. Amen.